I believe in living my life with gratitude. And I have been so fortunate to have some amazing mentors in my life. We don't get anywhere on our own, ever. We don't. It might feel like that to people sometimes, but I truly think that if we find the place where we are our highest and best selves, where we are utilized to our fullest capacity, where we really feel right, we got knowledge and support of people around us in some way or another.
Welcome to Modern Business Operations, where we talk with leaders about how ops is adapting to our modern world. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Modern Business Operations. I'm your host, Seth Colliner, and I'm here today with Elizabeth Rancourt-Smith, who is the Director of Legal Operations at Tilson. Elizabeth, why don't you just go ahead and start, just share a bit about your background and your current role, and then we'll get into the meat of it.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Seth, for having me today. Really excited to work through my path, for sure. As you said, I am the Director of Legal Operations for Tilson Technology Management, which is a telecom construction design build firm based out of Portland, Maine. My educational background is as a paralegal. My career background is in management. And I found myself at Tilson by the grace of good luck and connection. There's never a dull moment here at Tilson. I work in the office of the GC, reporting directly to him. And I handle my team, I should say, handles a broad array of legal operations. So we handle contract management. We handle all of our process and tech implementation. We handle regulatory compliance, licensing. Tilson is a licensed general contractor in all 50 states and an electrical contractor. We have a sister company that is a registered public utility in all 48 states. And so within all of those things, along with general corporate governance and compliance and just keeping our team on track, that falls under my umbrella. So
the thrust of this interview today is I wanted you to walk us through your long and winding path to legal ops. So I think this is kind of an underrated topic, right? So often people will tell me, I was a lawyer, but I found that I preferred legal ops. Or they'll say, you know, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer, but it turns out I'd rather be in legal ops or whatever the case may be. But that's often seems like how a lot of folks get to that role. And you did not do that. And as someone like myself who has 2 degrees in music, found his way into journalism somehow, and then ended up in the tech field and hosting podcasts, et cetera, I empathize with your unconventional route to where you've gotten. So just walk us through that journey about, you know, how you got to where you are now.
Sure, I'd love to. And I love that you make that observation that, you know, you listen to a lot of people's career paths, especially in legal operation, and we start at the, well, I graduated from law school, or I left grad school, or I left my undergrad, and I did this. But I think that our career journey is actually much broader than that. And I also think that it comes from a place of privilege to be able to start your career journey in that place. And we're not all able to do that, right? So my unconventional path starts very early because I think that my strength as a professional is the sum total of my experience and not just what I did after college or after. My very first job was when I was 10, and this is no like child labor issues here, but I started when I was 10 years old demonstrating dance classes in my local dance studio. And by doing that, it paid part of my tuition. I come from a blue collar background. My family couldn't really afford to put me in dance classes. I wanted nothing more than to be a dancer. And so the compromise here is I worked for it. And in that, not only did I get essentially free classes by demonstrating, right, extra time in the studio, but I learned a lot about having work ethic from a very early age. I learned a lot about learning from mentors. I learned to teach by doing that. I learned a lot about building relationships in the proper way to interact with different age groups. When I was just a baby myself, right? I moved up into assisting dance classes, starting to run dance classes at a dance studio. I was in the dance studio 6 days a week from the time I was 10 until I was 18 years old. And in addition to that, in high school, I worked as a waitress, a local diner. I worked every summer in residential care facility for elderly women, which was the most amazing experience of my life. I learned so much from those lovely women. And then when I went to college, so I ended up going to college at Emerson College in Boston. I too wanted to go into journalism. I wanted to be a political writer. And this was in the early 2000s. And then I learned a lot about the industry of journalism and decided it wasn't for me. And decided to go into public relations. Now, in this time, I was also teaching dance classes in the greater Boston area. So I didn't give up on my love of dance. And it's always been really important to me throughout my career to keep that thing that keeps me alive in a different way, that lights up my soul, right? And that's what dance is for me as somebody into music. I'm sure you can understand that. But I didn't want to focus on it professionally, because I didn't want that joy to be stolen from me, if that makes sense. So I continued teaching dance. I did audition to, you know, to actually land gigs as a dancer. It didn't work. Nothing sucked. I did a few cool things. I auditioned for the TV show So You Think You Can Dance, and, you know, for the Boston Celtics dancers and a lot of different things like that. But at the end of the day, what happened was I bailed out of college, and it was because of mental health issues that we didn't have the capacity to talk about in the early 2000s, right? So I was on my own in a city. I was a high performing student my whole life. I had a ton of tools as far as how to manage my time and how to do a lot of things and do a lot of things at once well. But what they don't prepare you for is, or that we didn't have the language to speak about, is that mental illness or neurodiversities or anything in that realm is akin to having a physical disability in a lot of ways, where regardless of what you do, it's going to be a thing. I left. I failed. A couple of years later, got my life back together. I had started working at Starbucks as a barista and quickly made my way up the chain there. In that time, I went back to school to study to be a paralegal. I thought, hey, I'm really interested in the practice of law. There's always been a part of me that's really, really energized by advocacy, just in general. I think I wrote my first missive on equality and equity when I was 11, right? And so I thought, hey, I'm going to go to school to be a paralegal. I'm going to see if I like this. I'm going to see if I like the practice of law. And then I'll go back, I'll finish my bachelor's degree, I'll go to law school, I will work for nonprofit organizations or, you know, that sort of thing. It's my bleeding heart, just bleeding everywhere, right? And graduated, and it was 2008, and we had a recession. And so
I recall. Yes.
Yeah. So there were no jobs. And so I just sort of held my ground. Now, having been in the workforce for most of my life at this point, right? I knew how to just put my nose to the grindstone and just work, right? So I held my ground. I stayed at Starbucks. I worked my way up to a store manager there. I ended up becoming a store manager that specifically went to stores that were underperforming to help revitalize the stores in the district. So bringing attrition rate down from, you know, I took over a store that had an attrition rate year over year of, I think, 140% when I got it, and brought it down to under 50, bringing stores out of the red into the black, making them profitable again, and rebuilding community relationships with those businesses. So I really loved what I did. I loved the component of mentoring a youngster. You know, most of my workforce was under 25, right? So really helping them build skills to figure out what they wanted to do in life. I loved building community relationships and doing things that leverage sort of the heft of working for a big corporation to make the community around me better in some way, hosting community chats, bringing in, you know, local organizations to connect with the community. We did Coffee with Your Community, where we had different leaders from around
town come in and just got coffee chats. I did children's literacy work, loved it. It was great. And then I had a family. So then I had my son. And I realized very quickly that, one, the corporate landscape at Starbucks was changing. So this was just before collective bargaining attempts really started getting going there, right? So there was a definite change in the ambiance of working for this company that I had for a decade at this point really championed. And I was hungry for a change. And the rhinestone of retail management is very challenging with a family, especially as a mother, where, you know, despite our best attempts at it, the expectations are a little bit different, right? And so I was tired and I was like, okay, well, let's change careers. Now, at this point, I'm 35 years old, which is a challenging time to say, hey, I'm going to make a swing and change careers. And I put my feelers out everywhere. I was like, I have this paralegal degree. I never actually worked in a law firm. And I also didn't have the advantage of being able to do an internship because all internships were unpaid. And so, you know, there was no experience for me to call back on. There was just an academic record. I didn't have a bachelor's degree. I certainly didn't have an advanced degree over that. And I wanted to break into something that helped me leverage these things that I found I really enjoyed when I worked at Starbucks, having business acumen, managing change, managing people. And I'm super techie by nature. So where do all these things come together? Now, fortunately, I had one of my professors from when I was studying to be a paralegal was a senior counsel at Tilson. And I had sent out 35 resumes and got a single interview. And I just needed somebody to give me a chance. And I thought, I have so much untapped potential. I'm quick on my feet. I'm tenacious. I just need somebody to take a chance on me. And they won't regret it when they do. And so finally, I got desperate. And I was like, hey, you know, like, we're hiring for SYDAC specialists, right? So SYDAC specialists are people who help permit construction sites and things like that, help vet sites, stuff like that. Okay. I interviewed for it and the person that interviewed me was like, I think you're better fit for a different thing in our company. So I'm going to send you to someone else. And they sent me back to her. And fortunately, our general counsel here, Tim Schneider, he had just come into Tilson the year prior. He was just starting to build a team and they were looking for some paralegal support. And I had zero credentials that he needed. I don't even know that. I think I just talked about like how proud I was of my community event at our interview. And for whatever reason, he hired me. And I am so grateful to this day for that, because what that did is, even though I started, and at this point there, we didn't have legal operations, but about a year later, we were scaling to the point where we needed a CLM, contract management, and in helping with that process, we found that I had a strength there that our team could utilize. And Tim was like, hey, what about this thing called legal operations? I think you might be well suited for it. I think that this is something you could do. And I looked at it and I was like, wow, this is everything that I have built up to this point. All the skills, soft skills, whatever, which I hate that term, that I have gained lead me to this particular career in a very interesting niche way. And that's how that was born. I was our first legal operations hire. I have since built a team. I like to think I've built an empire. And I'm really proud to say that, you know, in our company, our legal team is really well respected and well liked and known as a great business partner, partially because of our legal operations. And I just really love what I do. So that's what brought me here.
Yeah. Well, as we said at the beginning of the question, a long and winding path.
Yeah.
There's a, I have so many thoughts from what you just said. Biggest one being is that sounds so much like the millennial experience. I got to imagine a lot of people are emphatically nodding their heads at that. Like, yep, wasn't sure where I was going. But yeah, starting from the end there, there was something that they taught us when, as composition students, music composition students, so you create your own influences, meaning, you know, as a student, you listen to everything, every era, every composer, everything you can get. And when you start making your own thing, that's when you start defining what your influences were. And you only know that by looking backwards and seeing. So when you said, it turns out like Legal Ops was this thing that I had been sort of gradually finding my way towards all this time. You know, when you look back, you can see the path, the flow of like, oh, I learned this skill, I learned that skill. And it's a good lesson, I think, because for anyone in any career, but you know, in this area, because you just don't really know where you're going to end up, but you just sort of know, you keep moving forward, you know, with integrity and taking the next opportunity and working hard and all of that. But yeah, the scope of that, of those years, those decades, really. Yeah, I tell people a lot with my journey is that, you know, I finished grad school and I was like, this was a bad choice. I was like, so nobody wants to pay me to write them operas, turns out. And I snuck into a career right before the 2008 crash. So I was hired in the summer of 2007. They hired me and another writer the same week. And they hired two more writers for that and that organization. And to my knowledge, they hired nobody else in that department ever again. And they shut down, I want to say like 5 or 6 years ago, the idea that there's this crash and there's no jobs. Everyone who graduated in like, you know, 07, 08, 09, suddenly it was, you know, you're kind of on your own. And, you know, I think the idea of hitting a wall is something that I think a lot of millennials experience.
I remember thinking like, what did I do wrong? Like, am I broken? Right? Because where is this dream? They told me if I did well in school, they told me if I worked hard. And I certainly did all of those things, that I would be successful, right? Like there would be something on the other end of this. And why does it feel like there's a constant tidal wave just pushing me down? It turns out there were forces much greater than anything I could control.
This episode is brought to you by Tonkin. Tonkin's process experience platform seamlessly wraps around existing policies and systems, allowing internal service teams to do more with what they already have. Build process experiences that are personalized for each requester and use AI to automate the intake, triage, and resolution of every request. Maximize adoption, compliance, and efficiency with no change management and no code. That's exactly right.
And I've talked to so many people, you know, so many millennials specifically who have had that similar, you know, I thought I was alone in this. I thought I was the one that was broken. No, I couldn't. We weren't.
But I think too, you know, kind of it backs the Legal Ops topic a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, we millennials sort of came of age and came to work in an era where the jobs that are available now, like the career fields, some of them just simply didn't exist 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And then many of them have just completely evolved, you know, Legal Ops being one of them, right? The technological tools available now, many or most of them didn't exist 5 or 10 years ago. I had one guest on this podcast who's a consultant now, but you know, when he started doing some of these things, he was like, I was templatizing. He described it as templatizing. And what he was doing without the right tools, because the tools didn't exist yet, was automating business processes. That's essentially what he was doing.
Millennials are well suited for Legal Ops and similar career paths, right? Because we are that unique generation that grew up without tech, who in our developmental years as late, you know, as teens and in our early 20s, grew into developing tech and became early adopters and became sometimes the innovators and the creators of that. But also for those of us who were just sort of riding the tide of it, we grew into that. And so it makes us uniquely positioned to lead businesses into the revolution, right? Because we understand the transition of doing something with and doing something without. I think it does make us well suited for it.
Yeah, well put. Well put. Well, and you know, how do you think that this unconventional career path has helped you in your Legal Ops role specifically, and has it held you back in some ways?
So I thought it very rarely hold me back, except for when it comes to trying to fight for professional recognition, right? So if you look at my resume, I am the head of Legal Ops in a swiftly growing company. I don't have a bachelor's degree. I have zero credentials. And so if I were to put my resume out on the market, people would be like, what is this lady doing? Really, right? So for me, it's a constant, like, I feel like I constantly have to prove myself and my value. And that comes through my work ethic, right? It comes through the things that I accomplished, but it's a lot of constant self-advocacy. So that I would say is probably the downside. The upside to sort of this winding path is I came into this job with all of those skills that most people learn after they start their career, right? So I have over a decade experience in managing people of all different types, of managing multiple different stakeholders, customers, community, corporate employees, working through change. The time that I worked for Starbucks, they underwent a huge technological change where we went from running DOS prompts in a back office computer at the end of the night to close out payroll to having like actual computer systems. And so being part of leading the front line of those technical changes underneath sort of the guidance and leadership of this juggernaut company, those are skills that are irreplaceable that I use every single day in my job now. And then when you add into the many merits of being in the performing art that you bring to any career path, right? And I get this. Yeah, I have people, I've done podcasts and people reach out to me after when I've talked about being a dancer and then going into business about that transition. And I think performing artists are so invaluable to business because we know how to deal with change, because the only thing we deal with is change, right? The show must go on. It does not matter. We are the ultimate problem solvers. We will put something together with duct tape and a piece of string, and it will look like gold. And the audience won't know any different, right? We have to be leaders. We have to be comfortable in front of people. We know how to do so many things from the performing art. So I would say, you know, sum total, while there are some things that my unconventional path have been detrimental in some ways. I didn't go to law school. I didn't, like, there are things that do hold me back. I think the strengths that I come with are much, much greater.
Well, and talk just very briefly about, you know, the importance of mentorship and community on this journey. But I know that you mentioned some of the things you did when you were at Starbucks, but I know also there's things you've been doing now that you're deep into the legal ops field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you give back, right? Like, you continually give back. I believe in living my life with gratitude. And I have been so fortunate to have some amazing mentors in my life. We don't get anywhere on our own, ever. We don't. It might feel like that to people sometimes, but I truly think that if we find the place where we are our highest and best selves, where we are utilized to our fullest capacity, where we really feel right, we got there, knowledge and support of people around us in some way or another. I was fortunate that, you know, I mentioned Maureen, who worked at Tilton, who helped me get this job. That was great. My mentors at Starbucks, my district manager, Courtney, over there helped me build my change management skills, my business acumen, really helped me understand what it was to truly lead people. And, you know, and certainly Tim here at Tilton, who has, you know, just allowed me to flourish in my legal ops journey. I think that having all those influences, it becomes really important to me to uplift the people around me and to take this younger generation of people who are coming into legal ops now and give them tools and give them skills and give them motivation. My team is all 10 years younger than me, right? So I feel, as a woman in business, as a woman in a career law, I mean, legal ops is primarily female, but certainly the intersection of law, construction, telecom, those are all male-dominated spaces. And I feel very driven to build my team up and mentor them. I love it. I love it when people reach out to me. And I love building community. So I'm part of the Legal Ops Uncensored community, which is wonderful and built on sort of this idea that we're stripped of our roles and we're all working professionals in Legal Ops here to build a stronger us by working together. And there's so many great mentors there. And I feel like I'm constantly learning in every conversation that I have with my peers. And I bring that to my team as well.
That's great. What's the best advice you've ever received in your career?
Received a lot. I think the one I use most often. So to move forward fearlessly, but to make sure you always back it up with the work behind it. So fear holds us back. Fear of change, fear of the unknown. I do everything pretty fearlessly. I had been known to just hop on a bus and go to an audition that I was in no way qualified to be, right? And just do it because it's an experience, because you learn something from it, because it provides texture, all of these things. So you should move forward fearlessly through your life to find the things that drive you and move towards them. But you also have to make sure that there is substance behind, right? So working hard my whole life has really showed me that like just working hard doesn't actually get you anywhere, but you need that hard work to build the right foundation behind your success.
And as we close, is there anything that you want to promote or share about yourself or your company or Legal Ops Uncensored? And if people want to contact you, what's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. So quick plug for Tilson. We are hiring. We are scaling. We scale anywhere between 30 to 60% year over year. For the last 13 years running, we have been on the Inc. 5000 list and we are continuing to scale. So if there are folks out there that are interested in telecom, construction, engineering, growing businesses, being part of really building a company, check us out, www.tiltontech.com. It's a great company to work for. I love what I do. And folks looking for connections, mentorships, advice in the legal ops space, Legal Ops Uncensored is a free group to join that has lots of resources. You can find them on LinkedIn. You can find them online. Sign up, come to one of our many worldwide events to just chat and network and learn. And I love it when people reach out to me for certainly advice, certainly other performing artists who are breaking into business or working mothers or women in male-dominated spaces. So please find me on LinkedIn. You can find all my contact information there, and I'm so happy to connect with people.
Excellent. Elizabeth Rannicourt-Smith, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Seth. This was wonderful.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Modern Business Operations. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at tonkin.com/MBOpod. Thank you for listening and be sure to subscribe for updates on future episodes. And if you're interested in staying up to date on all things business operations, join the Tonkin community at tonkin.com/community.